As Senate proceedings wind down, focus turns to President Trump's State of the Union address next week, after which Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer has been chosen to deliver the traditional Democratic rebuttal. So this week, for our news roundtable, we're turning to two accomplished pros at communications and messaging. John Selleck is CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations, and Matt Friedman is the co-founder of Tanner Friedman Public Relations. Gentlemen, good to have you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Can we just start with a brief take on the governor's State of the State address? John, what did you see happening?
Sure. Well, on the surface, it was definitely a win for her. She came in, she sold the idea that she was going to be super aggressive. She was getting things done. She was turning dirt. She accomplished that. And that should be a win when you're the governor, because you are a single statewide voice. Your competition is split up between the House, the Senate, all these other elected officials. So she should have got that message across. But in general, I think it was a speech cloaked in offense, but it was kind of a defensive speech because her main issue, roads, she suffered last year, didn't get her plan through.
Yeah, having to approach that speech having not gotten the major agenda item of your first State of the State, that's a challenge.
Right, and the plan that she proposed, which was ostensibly in the speech, was all about action. The devil's always in the details. The details come out. It's a plan that only touches maybe 10% of the roads in the state. Now there's going to be more controversy about how good is that plan.
Matt, what did you think?
This sounds like a trivial matter, but it's vitally important for public speakers. She was brief. The whole thing was done in 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time talking to clients about how to shorten speaking programs. Nobody's ever left a speaking event and said, that would have been better if she had just talked more. So it's about making your time count, and I think she really did that. I think it's exemplary for public speakers around the state to pay attention to.
Well, I'd argue the opposite. I'd say it's called the State of the State because traditionally what you're supposed to do is come in and brief the legislature and say, here is the whole big picture. The tactical decision that they made was usually that speech means it's like a huge buffet. It's got 35 items on it. You don't know which one the media is going to eat and pick up and distribute to the public.
I think
here
I
they
counted,
only put two items, basically roads and healthcare, so they got the message they wanted.
I think I counted 19 different policy points when you count in maternal health, some of the economic workforce training things she mentioned. I mean, arguably those two focuses, but there were a range of issues discussed.
Well, what I'm saying is when you make it that tight, it came off to me more like a Chamber of Commerce lunch speech instead of what is traditionally a State of the State. And the reason for that is to fit broad categories, just a few of them, which they hit. They hit roads, they hit healthcare, they hit job training.
Turning to next week, let's start with why the Democratic Party picked Gretchen Whitmer to do this pretty auspicious rebuttal. Matt, what do you think makes her the pick?
I can only speculate here, but I think that there are a lot of faces and voices in Washington to where the audience is kind of growing tired. They're predictable. They wanted somebody fresh. They wanted somebody new. And I think that will help them get some attention. The trick for her and for the Democrats is really going to be what she's going to say. I think she's on the top of her game lately as a public communicator. She seemed to have grown into her potential over the last year, but she needs to be memorable and needs to get beyond cliches. I think a worst case scenario would be blah, 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 working families, blah, blah, blah. There has to be something here that resonates, that creates some sort of memory. And keep in mind, she will be competing, so to speak, against, I don't know, an hour of Donald Trump right before her. So it's the preparation will be key here. And this will need to be thought of, I think, as more than a political address, but there needs to be some elements of marketing and communications in there, too.
Interesting that Gretchen Whitmer needed to lay out this positive vision of Michigan in her State of the State address and then pivot in the rebuttal. And presumably she's going to do some explaining about why the country needs to change horses now. Can she tell both stories, John?
You know, in general terms, I think the State of the Union response is not something that sticks out in the imagination of the public for very long. In the best case scenario, it's kind of like cotton candy. It gives you a sugar high and then it kind of disappears quick. If you have a mistake or you do a bad thing, it's like getting a bad tattoo. It's going to be forever, like Marco Rubio in his water. With this one, what I sense in addition to those normal guidelines is that it's something bigger. It's more like an audition.
Ah, Matt, you focus on crisis PR. Do you think that Gretchen Whitmer needs to employ crisis strategies in the selling a positive vision of Michigan and the image that she's trying to present? I mean, there's a subtext here for Michigan voters within the larger picture of the national audience, right?
A little nuance here. I think that there are fundamentals of crisis communications that apply very consistently to what I call change communication. And part of what she's going to be selling in the State of the Union rebuttal is an imperative for change. And so there are some deep-rooted fundamentals in laying out a case and laying out some facts and also providing a level of reassurance to the audience that change is necessary and change is okay and make them feel comfortable. That's really hard to do in a relatively short period of time with an audience that's not familiar with you. But I think that beyond the political message, there needs to be a sense of this fundamental of change, and it does tie to a crisis face in other situations.
I think the crisis that the Democrats are facing is the National Democrats know that their voters in all the states, not just the primary states, are basically suffering through this seemingly endless slog of the presidential primaries, the attacks, the debates. When is it going to stop? So their opportunity here is to pick someone that presents a reassurance, say, hey, here's a fresh face. Here's a reminder of what we're fighting for. Pretty soon we're going to get back to fighting the person we want to, President Trump. They certainly picked somebody from the Midwest on purpose because clearly the Midwest and Michigan are going to be battlegrounds. They could have picked a governor from another state, but this is where Governor Whitmer stands, I think, head and shoulders above the other governors as far as being communicators. The governors of Wisconsin, Illinois, and Pennsylvania are not those people. She is. She has the ability to do that. I think it's also fascinating that they zeroed in on someone from the more moderate part of the party, even though Sanders is leading in Iowa and New Hampshire. They did not pick a progressive person. They went with the governor. They're trying to reassure their base, hey, we're still a normal party. We're still going to look at kitchen table issues, and pretty soon we're going to get back to fighting Trump.
Right. What does she need to say that unaffiliated voters, maybe particularly unaffiliated women voters or Republican women voters, might need to hear right now? Matt, what do you think?
It's tricky because my advice to her would be you don't want to be too controversial. But at the same time, it's the controversy that everybody's talking about and the interest that everybody is talking about. So it's definitely a tricky speech. And I said at the beginning of this conversation that she has to be memorable. So it's quite a balancing act. How do you be memorable and not alienate anybody at the same time in this day and age? That's a real trick.
I'm mindful of a line from Ocean's 13, be funny, but not memorably funny.
The issue is healthcare. In 2018, the Democrats were very successful at hammering Republicans on the healthcare issue, on elements of Obamacare that are still very popular, like pre-existing conditions, and that worked to great effect. In 2019, they lost their way. They got very trapped into going after the president. He's good at laying out the bait and doing other things that caused them to run after impeachment, Iran, all these other issues. And so they're trying to turn the ship right now. Even the graphic in which Speaker Pelosi announced Whitmer doing this speech was all based on healthcare issues. And they're trying to pull it back that way. Here on the ground, closer to the ground, Alyssa Slacken in the 8th Congressional has been trying to spin her message back over to healthcare. So I think the governor made a focus on healthcare in her State of the State speech. She's going to pull that thread forward.
This is starting to feel like a very Michigan moment, guys.
This is something that is uncomfortable to talk about. But when there's a moment like this and we're in a meeting and we're preparing a CEO for a big public speaking event, the subject that will come up after we talk about message is always attire and what's being worn.
She'll love that.
It's going to come up somewhere along the way, if it hasn't already. What she's going to wear is going to be a big topic of conversation. And when I worked in the TV news business, we would talk about content and we would talk about journalism and news decisions all day long. And what would viewers call about? Somebody changed their hairstyle. What happened? And I think that...
Matt, wait a minute. Even for guys?
Rarely for guys. Rarely for guys. And so I think that this is, we can talk all we want about what the content should be, and it's important, and the message is important, and there are people who are going to pay attention to it. But unfortunately, in the age in which we live, the visual element here is going to be a factor and is going to be talked about over the next few days.
Wait, well, I'm not going there. I'll let Matt handle it. She can have that one.
Wait a second. I have to ask. You're telling me that because this is a woman delivering this speech, that has to be at least a top three concern?
It's going to be discussed and it's going to be strategized and planned, because when we talk about being memorable, you want the words to be memorable, not anything else. And oftentimes appearance, and I hate to say this, but it's true, and I've seen it from all sides, especially for women in high-profile situations, it is a takeaway. It is a topic. It is a consideration.
Matt, you're killing me. John?
Well, she had a great time smacking Republicans and critics straight across the face as she opened the State of the State speech.
She opened with a joke about this, mm-hmm. saying, you know, let's not talk about what Mike Shirky is wearing tonight, mm-hmm. alluding to the blue dress flap.
So we know that this is in the consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a dual standard, and it's not fair, for sure. I've worked mostly for male politicians. The worst I've had to do is make sure they didn't wear the striped shirt that gets, you know, blurry on TV. And I've had to pat some hair down. I don't have any hair, but I've had to pat down some hair to make it sure it's not sticking up. It's not the same level of consideration that women get. It's not fair. And I think the governor actually handled that pretty well.
She did.
She took control of the speech from the second she got up there on that aspect. I think on control, though, what'll be interesting is if you're the D.C. Democrats, yes, you pick somebody to give the speech, but you don't just say, here, Matt, here's the keys to the studio. Go and do what you want. How much control is she going to have on the message? How much of the speech is being written in Washington? She'll get the level of input she'll get on that, because they're going to pick somebody they know will at least follow the big picture of what they're seeking to do.
John Selleck with Harbor Strategic Public Relations and Matt Friedman of Tanner Friedman. Gentlemen, nice to have you on the roundtable and good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.